Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to turn your garden into a smart garden on News Radio 830 WCCO. Smart Gardens, an hour of expert advice and answers to all of your lawn and gardening questions. You can call 989-9226 or text us at 81807. Now, here's Denny Law with this week's Smart Garden.
Welcoming your phone calls, lawn and garden phone calls, the rest of this hour. And before I give you those phone numbers and the text number, let me say hi to Professor Mary Meyer. Nice to see you again, Mary.
Wonderful to be here, Denny. Good morning.
And you brought Professor John Trappe back.
John Trappe, he's one of our, it's actually technically a postdoc student, or researcher working with us, but John's an expert on turf. And
yes.
We're still talking turf, among many other things this morning.
Yes, and you and I, the three of us, were talking about the shoveling of acorns.
Oh,
everybody's talking about acorns.
We'll talk about the acorns. We got to talk about the emerald ash borer, the other
You've got some news about that, too.
Lots going on.
So if you do have, especially since John has come back to CCO, if you have a turf question, you can zero in on that with John Trappe this morning. Mary, of course, has helped us out for ages here on CCO, helped you out. Let me give you the phone number, first of all, and you don't wait. We always tend to get busy. And I want to mention, too, that our friends at By the Yard Patio Furniture sponsor the show every week, and we appreciate that. 651-989-9226. We told you last week, if you have a lawn type of question, save it till today. When John is here, and indeed he has returned. 651-989-9226, or send us a text like some folks are already doing, 81807. Well, let's talk a lot about the acorns, because I know our friend Steve Murphy from CCO News in the past has sent an article about that. What is it called? Masting?
Yes, M-A-S-T, or masting. It's just a term for heavy, heavy seed set. And we think of it primarily with oaks. It happens. They're big, conspicuous seeds, so we see that. But this is a mast year for maples, for elms, for ash. Yes, and we talked about it back in June. Maybe people have already forgotten, but it was conspicuous in the spring when elms set seed. They were brown, totally brown, some trees, and maple the same way. Now, maples hold their seed. They come down a little bit later, but we could see that this spring. But the acorns now are what we're really seeing, and right, is it dangerous to walk under your own oak tree because you'll get hit on the head? They are falling like crazy. You can hear them fall on roofs. People have been sweeping them off their porches, etc. And of course, they're falling in lawns and everywhere. So it is a normal occurrence, and there's just a huge amount of seed. So for us, it's cleaning them up at this point. But most of the time, John, I think we can tell people that they can mulch them as they're mowing their lawn, and there's usually no consequence there.
But you don't, John, you don't want a heavy layer on your lawn, do you?
No, generally speaking, no. But there is actually certainly an exception there. I think in general, homeowners are certainly safe to be mulching the oaks, acorns, and things like that.
Break them up, but you don't have to be a perfectionist about it.
Absolutely not.
All right. And what about the ash borer? Now, you and I, we're talking a little bit before.
Unfortunately, yes. The Department of Ag, just on Thursday of this week, so this is really breaking news, found the emerald ash borer in Wright County. So Wright is, of course, west of Hennepin County. They immediately quarantined that area. So you can see this on the Department of Agriculture maps. This is very likely that someone transported wood that had the emerald ash borer, which is illegal because of the quarantine. You cannot move it in quarantine from quarantine areas. So unfortunately, now further west in Minnesota, we find the emerald ash borer. So We have been talking about this for some time, and everyone should know if you have an ash on your property, how many ash do you want to protect it, and make plans for protection and then replanting different species.
Different species, right. Yeah. Let's go to the phones. Chris in Blaine, I believe, is first up. Go ahead, Chris. Thank you.
Hi. I planted some new shrubs in a house that I just moved into, and I planted the red vine dogwood kind of out front, and they're really blossoming and really tall. I can't kind of let them get out of control. So when would be a time that I could cut these back and not harm the plant?
You should just wait until they're totally dormant. So once the leaves fall off and we get into the winter time, then through the winter is a good time to prune them. That'll actually be easier for you to see the overall shape of the plant at that point, too. But the red twig dogwood, a great plant, especially for wet areas, but a tough, hardy Minnesota native.
All right. Thanks, Chris. Jerry in New Prague, I believe, is next up on the phone. Go ahead, Jerry. Thank you.
Thank you for taking my call. I have a maple tree in my front yard, and we live in an association, and it's the only tree that has lost all its leaves, and I was wondering what could have happened. I fertilized it good in the spring and everything.
Yes, unfortunately, that early leaf loss is a sign of stress or a tree that isn't of the best of conditions, especially if the foliage is all gone now in early kind of mid-September. I guess I'd recommend you have an arborist come out and look at the tree. One of the most likely things is stem girdling roots that the tree has been planted at the improper planting depth. You may or may not be able to correct that. But a professional arborist is the best way to go to give you an estimate of what could be wrong with it.
Thank you, Jerry. I think John could handle this one. Let's see if I can find it again. My son purchased a new home. The lawn needs a little work. It's not horrible, just has weeds from previous owners being out of the house a while. Is it better to put weed and feed down or go with a fall or winter fertilizer? What would you do, John? What's the process this time of year? Because I wanted to ask you about that, too, as far as a pre-emergent, post-emergent. What's good to do this time of year?
So as far as this time of the year, you should your number one concern should be setting up and making sure that you have adequate soil fertility for next year and the coming years after that. So I would suggest on a new site conducting a soil test, just making sure that you have no nutrient deficiencies in the soil and making sure that you have proper nitrogen fertilization. And we have some documents on our website, extension publications on how to fertilize, how much to fertilize, and when to fertilize.
What is that website, John?
Turf.umn.edu or
extension.umn.edu. That's the one we give all the time.
If you just Google search turf extension, you'll find one among many of our among many of our publications.
All right, very good. Tell you what, Dennis, I know we have to break. We have more show to come. We have callers. We have texters. I see a line open if you want to call in your lawn or garden question. 651-989-9226. Text is 81807. Back with our Smart Garden Show here on News Talk 830 WCCO. 73 degrees heading for 92. And good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Mary Meyer, John Trappi in helping you out. And specifically today, and Mary, of course, has helped us out for a number of years now on our Lawn and Garden Show. But if you have a turf question specifically, John can certainly field that for you too. We have a bunch of everything here. Tell you what, let's go back to the phones and we'll grab some text messages as well. Jim in Lake Elmo, I believe, has been waiting. Go ahead, Jim. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. I've got a bunch of volunteers helping me today. We were planning on transplanting about 25 maples that are 6 to 7 feet tall and some Black Hill spruce. But I'm thinking with the weather, and they're far enough away where I can't get water to them on a regular basis. So I was thinking with the weather, maybe I shouldn't do that today. What do you think?
Because of the hot weather.
I agree with you, Jim. I think that that's a risk. It really is tough. The maples, and the spruce as well. They definitely are going to need water after transplanting, and I think it's going to be in a few days. It'll be cool, but boy, they will need water. It could set them back. So I would try, if you're going to move them in the fall, we like to have a month of good growing conditions prior to cold weather. Or if you did it first thing in the spring, you're assured then of minimal winter damage because you have the long growing season ahead to get reestablished.
Okay, very good. Steve in Litchfield, I think, has a lawn question for John. Go ahead, Steve. Thanks for calling.
You bet. My lawn looks relatively healthy. Just wondering, it's so uneven. If you're walking barefoot on it or something like that, there's seems to be a lot of bumps. It's very bumpy.
Now, we get that question.
I'm not really sure what that is, yeah.
Yeah, we get the question a lot. John, what's that all about?
excuse me. There could be several different causes for that. Most likely, it's probably just earthworm castings that are just at the soil surface but below the lawn height where you don't really see them. What you can do is you can also just try to roll the lawn in the spring when it's a little bit softer after the freeze and thaw cycles. And you'll smoothen out the lawn for the coming season. But right now, there's not a whole lot that you can do to do that. So I would just wait until the spring and then try to correct that then.
And those critters, aren't they beneficial for the lawn?
Oh, this is debate. We are now debating the value of earthworms. The earthworms have caused a lot of consternation, especially in wooded areas. I think John can answer that, but the turf really can grow when it's bumpy. Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay.
But now you can answer the earthworms and lawns.
Well,
generally speaking, they've actually been used in the past as a natural aerifier to try to open up the soil and allow more gas exchange. But in general, they're more of less an aesthetic nuisance than they are a functional one. They're not necessarily hurting the lawn, but they can have some agronomic or plant health benefits to it.
That was kind of a diplomatic answer. I like that.
Yes, and then it depends. In the woods where the invasive earthworms are eating the duff, it's a different story than in the lawn they can do the aeration.
Right. Let's grab some text messages. Please help me figure out, the texter says, the best way to avoid winter dieback on my Green Mountain Pyramid Dwarf boxwoods. Wrap them in burlap, anti-desiccant. They're in a protected spot, but I still lose a few branches every year. That came from Sandy in Chanhassen.
So I have a lot of these boxwood also, and I have little dieback. Sometimes you have dieback. So you can try wrapping them in burlap, but the location where you plant them is critical. Never on the south side, west side, where they get worse winter conditions. The north side, east sides are better with some protection. The other thing is you'd never want to prune them so that they have new growth going into the winter, because it's that new growth that will be more susceptible to killing. So I try to prune my box at the end of June so that they get hardened up before the winter. So perhaps pruning might be an issue as well. Make sure that they're well-watered going into the fall. And if you can block them with a burlap but not completely cover them up so that they get some sunlight, that would be ideal.
Texter says, I have a row of 12 mature juniper bushes that was hit hard by the April snowfall, 75% dead. Now, if I trim those down to the ground in the spring, any chance they may grow back? Comes from Maple Grove.
They might. I guess you could try it. They're dead. So what? But you know, frankly, I think that if you haven't seen any new growth from them at this point, those plants are probably dead. It was a difficult winter last year for a number of reasons, and I saw mature junipers dead that were old, and that's what I think this person said, 12 mature junipers, right? Yeah, so I doubt if they're going to come back. You could try it.
Okay. Let's see. Margaret's calling from St. Paul with a question. Go ahead, Margaret.
Yes, good morning. I was calling on, I guess, somewhat of a lawn question. I acquired a sinkhole a few years back here now, and it keeps growing. And it probably started off, you know, around a dinner plate size when I noticed it. And then, you know, it's, oh gosh, I don't even know how big it is. It's huge, and it's probably a foot deep. And I had out, like, the city. It's not a sewer pipe. I had somebody out from, I don't know, something to do with agricultural. And they did like an aerial, and they said there was never a tree there. So I've been filling it with some leaves and mulch, and I don't know if that's the right thing to do.
What do you do, John, if you've got a sinkhole in your yard?
Wow. Hey, Margaret, I'm telling you, you're the first person that called, and I thought, are you in Rochester, where we do have those natural sinkholes? They're frightening. The big ones, cars fall through and everything.
Whoa.
That's a condition with a limestone rock being porous that erodes underground and will cause those sinkholes. But no, you're in St. Paul. Well, you were really wise to get the city out there because I don't know. It could be that you're an animal made a burrow there, and now you're just seeing that burrow come to life. I guess I'd put in something more substantial than leaves. I'd try to get some soil in there and then watch that area and see if it changes. It still could be an animal or the remains of an animal den.
You know,
I don't know.
I have something like that in my yard,
you
and
do?
Every couple of years, yes.
And here we haven't been talking
about it. No, I don't know what it is, but I think, well, gee, is there a hole in my sewer pipe or drain pipe or whatever? So I have scooped it out and put in soil and rocks every two or three years.
Rocks would be good as
and
well.
And then some for the toy. And everything grows fine, but there is
a depression there.
In there.
Yeah.
I walk very gingerly over it.
Right. And, you know, how long ago could there have been a tree there, even 20 years ago? And it's now really fully decayed and opening up a space where the trunk was. So,
good point.
Yeah.
We need to take our usual bottom of the hour break. I urge folks on the line, hang on. And texters, we're going to get back to the text screen too. 651-989-9226. And the text is 81807. Mary Meyer, John Trappi in studio here on the Smart Garden Show on News Talk 830 WCCO. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show, brought to us every week by our friends at By the Yard Patio Furniture. In studio with me, Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota, along with John Trappi. We're talking lawns and gardens like we always do, but John is visiting us today. Specifically, we're talking about your lawn. So if you have a specific question, you can direct it right toward John. 651-989-9226, text 81807. We're going to get back to the text screen because there are a million of them.
Good.
However, Rick in Buffalo is waiting on the horn to ask a question. Go ahead, Rick.
I've got about a 2-acre front yard that used to be a farm field. So I've got ruts that I've been mowing it for about 4 years, and it's just so rough that you can't even hardly mow it. What I'm wondering is, can I get topsoil and just drag it into the low spots and top seed it over the years and fill it in, or is it better to just till it totally under and level it and then top seed it?
What would you do, John? What do you think?
I would think that it would probably depend upon how deep the ruts are. If they're more than, say, 2 or 3 inches, I would probably just consider just fully renovating and just starting over from that. But it sounds like, you know, if you're having difficulty even mowing, then that's the case, then I would probably just renovate.
Renovate the whole thing. All right. Good luck, Rick. A labor of love, for sure.
Right.
Let's talk. We always like to talk, as you know, Mary, about the great resource, the Arboretum. What's going on there?
Oh, wow. Well, we're in apple harvest mode, and the apple house is open. There are fresh apples, locally grown apples, Sweet Tango, Zestar out there now. So stop by the apple house. You can check it out from the Arboretum's website. There are apple tastings coming up later this month, and if you visit the Arboretum, of course, the annuals are gorgeous. Absolutely. There's some 7-foot-tall annuals out there.
Are there really?
Now, really. In honor of the 60th anniversary of the Arboretum, a beautiful diamond anniversary is purple with purple and pink and silver colors. So it's beautiful at the Arboretum. Great place to take a walk. Check out the website out there. Lots of activities coming up.
And directions for those that don't know?
It's west of the cities, and it's just on the south side of Highway 5, just after the junction of 41 and 5.
Easy to get to.
Chaska.
For sure.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Let's grab some text messages here. Texas says, I have a few shrubs I need to replace. Many are on sale now, but do they do better by waiting until spring to plant them?
No, I would still, between now and the 1st of October, I would definitely consider planting trees and shrubs, especially container grown material has a good root system. And in the fall, as long as you give it adequate water, is a great time for planting.
Okay. What is your opinion, Texas says, when planting B&B trees, should the basket and burlap be removed?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Right. Yes, you have to carefully take those off and make sure you don't drop the tree or mishandle it. Bald and burlap trees are big. Sometimes many homeowners don't want to deal with those because of the size of them, but you have to dig your hole, have that well prepared, put them in the ground, carefully remove as much as possible of the burlap.
Texter wants to know, how often do you treat ash trees? What's the
process? Well, I assume they're talking about treating them for prevention of the emerald ash borer. Mm-hmm. It depends, but it's usually every 2, possibly 3 years for the preventative injection material. These are commercial applicators do this for trees that are specimen trees, nice healthy trees. This is a good option and will certainly buy you time, but contact a professional arborist, definitely a way to go.
All right. My lawn, Texter says, is now full of quack grass. I believe this took place after allowing quack grass to fill in an area after moving a large compost pile. I mowed this area in addition to my lawn and likely spread all of the quack grass seed throughout my lawn. Do I need to kill off my lawn and start over?
If indeed it is quack grass.
What does quack grass look like?
So quack grass is will grow a little bit faster than the rest of your lawn would. So it looks a little bit tall and spindly. It has a little bit more lime green color, and it has what we call clasping auricles. There's a lot of great resources online as far as how to identify quack grass. I would just first make sure that it is quack grass, because here's the bad news. If it is, you are probably going to, if you really want to get rid of it, you're pretty much ready. You're going to have to start over and fully kill off everything, because the quack grass is there's no selective treatments to remove just the quack grass without hurting your lawn.
No kidding.
But I'm thinking this caller actually may have crab grass, because this time of year it's much more conspicuous than quack grass.
Well, that's good to know.
And hence,
how do you treat that?
Hence the importance of making sure that you identify the grass.
That's treatable, I take it. Then.
Yes, crabgrass. If indeed, you know, we may get another caller asking about crabgrass. At this point, I would not do anything and not worry at all about crabgrass. If indeed that is the case,
because till spring.
Yes, it's a summer annual. They're all slowing down in growth. They're all going to die soon with the first frost. So just make sure that your lawn is in good order for next spring.
Very good. Texter wants to know, can we plant our tulip bulbs now, or should we wait until October or November?
No, I would definitely plant them now. The sooner the bulbs are in the ground, the sooner they'll start growing their roots and get established. So this is an ideal time for planting tulips.
All right. The leaves on my hibiscus plants are turning yellow. I've never had this happen in the past. What could be causing this?
There are a number of things with hibiscus leaves turning yellow. They go through a lot of leaves and regenerate a lot of new ones. So as long as they're the older leaves that are falling off, it might be okay and you still have new growth. The other thing is to look closely for pests, because aphids as well as spider mites are notorious on hibiscus. And you can, if you do close inspection, you can find those, spray them off with water, or use insecticidal soap.
Texas says, we are sandy soil. After the drought and the rain came, I have large areas that are dead. What's the rule about seeding and putting down a pre-emergent?
So generally speaking, there's only one product that if you wanted to seed at the same time and also put down a pre-emergent, that would be Siduron is the name of the chemical that would work with that. But in general, I would just recommend, instead of trying to find the right product and things like that, I would just make sure that you seed now, if indeed. Where was the text or call from?
It doesn't say where. It just says we have sandy soil.
Okay. If you're in the Twin Cities or further south, I would still consider doing that. If you're further north, you're starting to push the envelope as far as when to be seeding there. So if indeed you're in the Twin Cities or south, seed and then treat the weeds as they come up with a pre-emergent in the springtime, as opposed to now, because right now you're just going to be dealing with winter annuals. The summer annuals that'd be germinating next spring are a concern then.
I've had some luck, and Mary and I have talked about this before, with dormant seeding. When if I wanted to do more of that this fall, when's it? Do I wait till like November or something?
Yeah, I would with dormant seeding is we're finding is a very effective way of seeding or renovating a lawn, and you would do that sometime in early November before snow cover.
Oh, before snow cover, okay.
Yes, mainly because you want the seeds to, as you seed them, you want them to stay where you put them. With snow, that may change. So anytime before snow cover or very early spring, immediately after snow melt, would be another time of that could work. But certainly in early November is more effective.
All right. Let's see. Here's one from Mary. Milkweed plant has black specks under leaves and on pods. Specks were pale yellow earlier in the summer. Is that eggs or disease? Leaves are very glossy.
It's probably disease from the way you're describing it. Eggs are usually raised bumps, and they may be black, but they're conspicuously raised and above the leaf. If it's this flush with the leaf and just appears to be like painting on the leaf, then it's probably a fungal leaf spot that's there. But I would not worry about that. Certainly nothing to be concerned about. And the leaves are soon to be gone on milkweed. But great, you're growing a pollinator plant.
All
great
right.
For pollinators.
I tell you what, let's take our usual break here. We have more show to come, both callers and texters, so hang on here. It's Smart Garden around every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour here on News Talk 830 WCCO. And good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden show here on CCO. Denny Long here, along with Mary Meyer and John Trappi, answering your lawn and garden questions. Let's mention the website again, you guys. We always like to do that.
Yes, so extension.umn.edu, and then click on Yard and Garden. John was also mentioning the turf.umn.edu is a good resource, especially for turf, but extension.umn.edu will give you the whole gamut of what Extension does, and Yard and Garden is where what's wrong with my plant, what insect is that, what weed is this. So great resources.
And I know you and your colleagues have put in a lot of work fixing that whole thing.
Fixing it, rechanging it. So people would really notice it's much more friendly for mobile users.
Ah.
So that's what a lot of the website looks like now. So the pictures come up better on your phones and so on.
Well, that's good.
Where most people are using
it. Isn't
the
that true?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, things have changed. Let's go back to the phones. Gene and Egan has, I believe, a lawn question. Go ahead, Jean.
Good morning.
Morning.
I have got a lot of curly fescue in my lawn this year, and my question is kind of twofold. You've been talking about weeds in the lawn a lot this morning. Can I still treat? Well, by treating, I mean I'm pulling out a lot of it, but I'll go to the source of it. As you know, it kind of creeps around and makes a whole big patch, and then you find the source of it and pull it out, and sometimes I leave a bald spot there. So I've kind of been mixing some dirt and grass seed and kind of sprinkling it where I left a bald spot. But I'm just wondering, should I treat that this fall? And then this year I didn't do the regular 3 times treatment with weed prevention, and should I have done that? What do you think about doing that sort of thing?
Yeah. Did I understand curly fescue?
Yes.
Yes.
I'm unfamiliar with that.
Me too, Gene. What do you think this really is? Okay, so it looks like a grass, but you don't like it.
It doesn't look like grass. It's it almost looks kind of mossy, lacy like. I guess I would call it.
Oh, it sounds
and
like
it's got tiny little buds.
Oh,
like they're almost kind of pinkish looking.
Maybe. So it's a broadleaf weed, but it's a weed you want to get rid of, and you're pulling it out. Yeah. So what's
true.
Go ahead, John.
Well, I think in most cases, first I would just try to identify the weed, and I know it sounds like maybe you've already tried to do that, but I would just make sure that you know what weed you're trying to work with here, and then most broadleaf. If it does sound like a broadleaf weed, most broadleaf herbicides are fairly safe on the rest of the lawn, and I would recommend doing that. Right now is a perfect time to be doing that. And then, like you said, with the weed, to answer your weed and feed question, the weed and feed products are great at working at that. But it sounds like maybe you're concerned that your lack of application of the weed and feed is why you have the broadleaf. But that may be the case. It may not be. This was a particularly problematic year for many different weeds. So just make sure that you have adequate fertility, that you're that the fertilizer itself is the most important thing and not necessarily the weed and feed portion of that product. So just make sure that you are getting adequate fertility, and I think you should be good to go. But like I said, a broadleaf product should control that that weed.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about lawn aeration. This is the time of year that should be done, at least middle of August, mid-September, when?
I would be a little bit cautious about aerating after the end of September.
Okay. Why is that?
After October 1st, because you want the lawn to heal before the winter. So so you want it to be able to recover from that injury. But you're absolutely right. Right now is the perfect time to be doing that. I think the main purpose of aeration is to remove or to relieve soil compaction and to allow gas exchange, which is very helpful for the plants.
Oh, all right.
So that's right now. That's why you're doing that. And right now is a great time.
Very good. Let's see. Back to the text. Our 2-year-old purple lilac had a few flowers this spring. This summer started showing brown stems. It is now totally brown. Mm-hmm. Is it dead?
It sounds like it's dead. So you can take pruners and cut into the wood and see if you see any green or if it's still brown. If that's difficult for you to tell, you can always wait until next spring to decide if it leaves out or not. Otherwise, I would definitely think about planting another shrub there.
Okay. Texter says, my lawn struggled a bit during the heat. Looked great after all the rain. Well, now my grass blades are started turning a real deep golden copper color. This has happened before. I've clay soil. I've worried these areas will start going brown again. I did put down some granules that controls fungus. Any idea of what I can do?
Copper color. That's quite interesting. I would.
Do you think that's rust? Do you think it's perennial ryegrass with rust?
That could Maybe. Potentially be that. If it's showing up as a on your tennis shoes or on your shoes is where you'd notice it most when you're walking. But if it is rust, that's normally a sign of low nitrogen. But if it is rust, there's not really anything you can do other than just fertilize. But if it is not rust, then at that point it may just still be stress that's just lingering around.
Huh, interesting. Rust. I know we've talked about that before.
Yes, we primarily see that on perennial ryegrass. But as John says, it comes off on your shoes, so you have these rusty or orangey shoes that you have as well. But it could be the low nitrogen. This is a prime time for fertilization with
Absolutely.
Lawns, just like aeration is. We're getting the end of the seeding time, but still prime time for fertilizing lawns.
If you picked one time a year to fertilize your lawn, this would be it.
Right now would be it.
All right. Let's see. Another text says, I have a huge spirea plant, and I'm wondering if I can separate it and transplant it now.
Wow. Okay, this one word, huge, kind of scares me, because the bigger it is, the harder it is to transplant. Now, spirea is a tough plant. I would not do it now. I would wait until spring to do it, and I'd do it just before it leaves out in the spring. So, and then dig that hole before you start digging up the plant so that you can shift it as quickly as possible and then keep it well watered.
Can I cut? Texter says an 18-inch twig from an autumn blaze maple, stick it in the ground, leaving 2 to 3 inches out of the ground, and expect a tree to grow come next spring. Is there a better way to grow an autumn blaze, or does it have to be from a seed?
It's not going to come from a seed and be an autumn blaze. This is how commercial growers do it. They do the cuttings and so on. I don't think that's going to work for you. You could try it. Now, that's going to work for the dogwood. There are willows. There are plants that root very easily. You can get that, take your own cuttings and do that. But I'm not sure that's going to work with an autumn blaze. I haven't done that myself. The best thing to do is buy an autumn blaze that's already got a good root system on it.
All right. We have less than a minute to go, and we have yet to talk about Japanese beetles. is there anything you can put down to keep Japanese beetles from hatching next year?
Well, the prevention for hatching is killing the grubs. And so there are a number of things you can do, but you have to make sure that you do have the grubs in your lawn. So you've got to do inspections and know that they're there. They're good flyers. They come from anywhere. So unless you've got the damage on your lawn, I would say no. The best thing to do is hand pick them off crops, off plants in a homeowner area.
Excellent. And before we go, that website again at the U of M.
Yes, extension.umn.edu. Click on Yard and Garden.
Excellent. Good to see you both. Thanks
My
so much
pleasure,
for all
Debbie.
Your help, as usual.
Thank you,
thanks so much.
I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets uncomfortable. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, and events that science still can't fully explain. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.